Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
American history, always something that you don't know, that is surprising when it comes into context again, such as an indictment of a former president of the United States. It's unprecedented, but it is not the first time that law and politics have come together in an election cycle. I welcome Conrad Black. He is the distinguished historian and biographer. His book, Flight of the Eagle, tells the story of America's success over nearly 250 years. And there's always something new to add to the American story, and that would be the endeavor these last days of members of the legal community in Manhattan, the district attorney, to move to indict a former president of the United States in what appears to be the election cycle influencing the decision of the American people. But that's next year. Right now, we have an opportunity to review how the presidency has been addressed by legal and other matters before in an election cycle. Conrad, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. I go to your most recent column in the National Post that takes us back to 1972, 1973, and what became the resignation of Richard Nixon, who was overwhelmingly reelected in the fall of 1972, and yet in 1974 left his post. Right now, your measure of the way that the Democratic Party campaigned or in some fashion constructed a campaign against Richard Nixon, was it based on the idea that he'd committed a crime, and what crime was that? Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening to you, John. Well, there was a forced entry at the Democratic National Committee headquarters in the Watergate building. There was no vandalism. There was no one hurt, and there was no theft. But some people entered, just forcing a door, and they were apprehended. And it turned out that they had been engaged by an official of the Nixon reelection campaign. And they were looking for things that would be damaging to the Democrats in the election.
This is June of 1972. Yes, please continue.
That's right. And the President Nixon had just come back from a tremendously successful visit to the Soviet Union, where he signed the greatest arms control agreement in the history of the world. And that, of course, had come on the heels of the South Vietnamese victory and the great offensive of the communists launched in the sort of last gasp of the Vietnam War. And that came right after his very successful visit to China. So the president was riding high, and this thing arose as this kind of cloud on the horizon. How did it happen? And it grew, and the press skillfully amplified every negative aspect of it to be as damaging in public relation terms as possible. And the president himself, as it turned out, gave some untruthful statements to the public, nothing under oath, nothing that was illegal, but he misled the public in ways that he might have judged would eventually come to light. And then there was just this increasing demand for evidence, and he invoked the doctrine of executive privilege and national security, and the Supreme Court did not agree with his interpretation, and he was obliged to hand over tapes. But and on the basis of the last tapes that he handed over, his support collapsed. And being a patriotic, traditional American, a decorated veteran of World War II, he did not want to put the country to the embarrassment of an impeachment trial, so he resigned his office. But he made it clear, and made it clear in all the more than 20 years after that he lived, that he did not commit any crimes. Some of his underlings did, but he did not. but he did not want to embarrass the country with an impeachment trial and immobilize the government of the U.S. with such a thing. And the fact is, there were certain peculiarities of Mr. Nixon's personality. It was rather secretive and so on that played into the hands of his opponents here. And it was a public relations disaster. But if you look at the actual articles of impeachment, and they were voted by the Judiciary Committee, but not put to the vote of the whole House, because he resigned. But if you look at them, they're nonsense. I mean, they're simply nonsense. So the first one said that he had used his great influence to avoid cooperation with people investigating this. Well, he may have slightly delayed things, but everything they wanted, they got. And the second was that he endeavored to, not that he did, but endeavored to use various agencies of the government to deny citizens their rights. Well, I mean, he didn't actually do it. And the charge of his having endeavored to do it, is terribly vague and wouldn't, I mean, frankly, the whole thing, the whole proceeding, if you had been able to isolate it and get a fair adjudication of it in an unhysterical atmosphere, he would not have been convicted of anything. And there's, to this day, more than 50 years later, not one shred of evidence that he actually broke any laws. Although, as I say, some of the people who worked for him did. But that, as I feared at the time, some of us were venerable enough to be letting our opinions, inflicting our opinions on the public in those days. So in my case, it was a pretty small section of the public. I offered the view that I thought this was going to addict the American political community to the potential and the pleasures of using prosecutorial and investigative methods to embarrass and defeat a political opponent. And I'm afraid we have now come all the way along that route now, through the things you mentioned, through the Iran-Contra business, through the impeachment of President Clinton, through the impeachments of President Trump, and now we have candidate and ex-President Trump being harassed with legal complexities that are patently and obviously nonsense. Every qualified legal opinion I have heard, including a great many from people who begin by saying they would not vote for Trump. If he's the nominee, they will not vote for him. But this is nonsense and it's an outrage. And that's where we are. And it's I think it's a state of affairs that very few people are satisfied with and tens of millions of people are worried about, including me.
In the partisan measure, the pursuit of Richard Nixon and his involvement with the Watergate burglars led to a great success for the Democratic Party in 1974, following the decision by President Gerald Ford, who succeeded to the office after Mr. Nixon's resignation, to pardon the president of any crimes because he wanted to spare the nation a trial for a crime. And that was very bold of Gerald Ford at the time. He was castigated for it. He probably lost the election to Jimmy Carter because of it. However, Conrad, that's a lesson that we might need to learn again. The nation is rent apart by the prosecution of a president who half the country has voted for.
Exactly, I want to add in respect to President Ford that almost anyone who has an opinion that's audible and worthy of being heard now agrees that it was not only, as you said a moment ago, a courageous thing for him to pardon President Nixon, but it was absolutely the right thing to do. And I must say I admired the Kennedys for awarding the Profile in Courage Award in honor of President Kennedy that they give, I believe, every year to someone who has done is the author of an act of political courage. As in the book Profiles in Courage, written by President Kennedy with the help of James McGregor Burns about 50 years ago, longer than that, 60 years ago, 70 years ago. They awarded it to President Ford, and he was warmly commended by the members of the Kennedy family that are involved with that award, and who said, you know, we didn't agree with you at the time, but it was the right thing to do. And you know, God bless you, Mr. President. I thought that was something with a happy ending to it. I mean, I remember when Mr. Nixon, he had been pardoned, but it was before the midterm elections at the end of 74. And he was in hospital with a very serious case of phlebitis. And President Ford visited him in Los Angeles in the hospital. And he was advised, his advisor said, you know, Mr. President, you could lose votes going to visit Mr. Nixon. And President Ford said, it wasn't for public consumption then, but came out into the public domain later, as a matter of history. He said, this country has reached a terrible state when a president of the United States cannot visit another president of the United States who has been sick and whose life has been in danger as an act of friendship. If we've reached that point, we are truly in a terrible condition, and I just don't believe it. In any case, I don't care. And I think that that spirit of President Ford's, I mean, he wasn't the most glamorous president, he wasn't the fastest on his feet, but that spirit of simple, straightforward, doing what is right, it's always more admirable and more conspicuously admirable in times like this when so many things are deviously done, dishonestly said. There are allegations of wrongdoing everywhere, some of it justified, some mere acts of deliberate slander and defamation. To have a sort of straight arrow president like that is a wonderful gift, and we miss it when we don't have it.
Poor decisions have been made by both parties. And when we come back, the impeachment of Bill Clinton by Newt Gingrich and the House of Representatives in 1998, leading to, again, tearing the country into half. Conrad Black, the distinguished biographer and historian of American history, Flight of the Eagle is the book I recommend highly. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.